This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world. This week on Dreamland, we're going to go in two very different directions. For subscribers in the third half hour, I've had an amazing experience with the Vesica Pisces. I talked about it a little bit on the show that we did with Laird Scranton, and I promised that I would discuss it more, and I'm going to discuss it in great detail. It is amazing. It's really a life, for me, a life-changing experience, and I think that it's going to open some doors for everyone who hears it, so don't miss it. Before that, we're going to spend the first hour with Rachel Brooks Smith. Rachel is an actress. She is a life coach of great power and integrity. And I came into contact with her when I was watching Carolyn Corey's film, Superhuman. Rachel was in it, and something extraordinary happened to her. We'll talk about all of that with Rachel. And then afterwards, subscribers, do not miss what is going to happen, because I've understood something very deep and very profound that I don't think has been understood by anyone except maybe a few alchemists back in the Middle Ages, and perhaps when the old science of the soul still existed. Subscribers, did you know that you can now have the subscriber version of Dreamland downloaded automatically to an app every week? More information, just log on, go to the Dreamland page, and look to the right. Full instructions are right there. Of course, for our free Dreamlanders, we're available on YouTube. We're available on TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, KGRA, and many, many different locations. But if you want to enjoy the show and subscribe too, now you can also listen to it via an app. Before we go on, Rachel, we were talking off the air, and I was saying to Rachel, how am I going to introduce you? Because when you find out more about her, you're going to find out this is a person who's done a little bit in this life, and you're not, I mean, that she's no, she's not old. She's a young woman. Rachel, tell us about yourself.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, and I'm just so honored to be here. Ever since I was a little girl, I fell in love with filmmaking and the act of, you know, creation of our own life experience. And I saw a film that really changed my life when I was going through a really traumatic time. And in that theater, I got so lit up and on fire. And I was just like, that's what I want to do with my life. I want to tell stories. I want to act. I want to dance. I want to perform. I want to inspire people the way that this film had inspired me and really gave me this like purpose and passion and aliveness. And ever since I saw that film when I was 14, I also came across a book called As Man Thinketh. And it was my first, you know, introduction to the power of thought and consciousness. And you know, that's what we think about really matters.
It's interesting that you mentioned it, because I loved that book when I was that age too.
Go ahead. Yeah. And I remember reading it. I remember reading it and being mad. I was like, how come nobody told me this when I was 5 years old? Because it would have saved me from a lot of stress and anxiety and physical illness that I had kind of created myself as a way out. And basically, long story short, I just became obsessed with everything I could find on that same topic. And I started putting those principles to practice. And I had this dream, you know, of being an actress and a performer and inspiring people. And crazy story and a roller coaster ride of so many ups and downs and things that in the moment felt like the worst things that ever happened to me, but ended up being the very best things that ever happened to me, because they put me in the right place at the right time with the right skill set to do something that everybody told me was literally impossible. And that was to play the lead in the sequel to the film that changed my life when I was 14 years old. And if that's not a story of our ability to create our life experience and the things that we really want, even if they're so big, you know, I don't know what is. And from that life experience, and gone on to be in so many other, you know, star in so many other feature films and TV shows, I just really wanted to create powerful messages and movements and brands that empower people to to realize those same things, that they had the power within them to create the life that they really wanted, whether that was, you know, to be an actor in films or to be a better human, to have a better life experience, to create more wealth or health or better relationships in their life. And so I recently created a program called Transform My Life, and it's at tmllife.com. It's really teaching all the powerful principles in a really fun, creative, interactive way, so that anybody that's like, gosh, I just feel stuck, or I feel like I have these big dreams, these aspirations, but I feel so trapped by fear, to be able to break through those. You know, I really just want to help people bridge the gap from where they are to where they want to be, and to know that transformation can be fun. You know, transformation can be a really, that we're not just human thinkings, we're human beings, and we need to do, to experience, to learn, to grow, not just watch other people do it. And so that's kind of me in a very small nutshell.
Yeah. Well, it's not that small a nutshell. And you've also done a lot of acting too. I mean, you've been a lot of stuff. I was amazed to see it. You know, you're really, can you tell us a little bit about your acting career?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it really started off with Center Stage, you know, was literally my Center Stage. I saw Center Stage when I was 14 years old. It was the first dance film I had ever seen. And so to get to play the lead in the sequel to that film, and that to be my first acting job, was a lead in a Sony Pictures film,
which is
incredible, you know? And I realized that just doesn't, you know, that's not a normal experience that people have. And so I just felt so, I don't know, just so blessed and amazed and in awe. And I still look back at that experience and even the story that led up to that, of how I actually accomplished that, was I'm just so in awe of it all, and really just kept using those principles that I would learn in, you know, books like the one we talked about, As a Man Thinketh, and every other, you know, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life by Wayne Dyer, or, you know, like all these beautiful like thought leaders and spiritual teachers about consciousness and about the power that we all have to create the life experience that we want. And from then I started in a film called Bring It On that, you know, I play like the mean girl in opposite Christina Milian in that film. And that was just such an awesome experience, especially because I, you know, grew up doing a lot of, you know, dance and cheerleading and gymnastics. And another film that I saw when I was younger that I loved so much. So to get to play the lead in that sequel was just, you know, still, it was like, oh my gosh, there's like this pattern that's going on in my life. And, you know, from there, also played in films and TV shows like Glee and Scream Queens and Nice Guys and How I Met Your Mother and Entourage. And Atomic Shark. And I have actually like four films that are coming out later this year and into next year. One's called Be the Light, which is a really like really feel good inspirational film that has a lot of music and dance in it. And then I have another film that I play the lead character in, which is a really beautiful film. It was a really incredible story about a girl who has epilepsy and her hero's journey to create something that everybody told her was impossible. And I play opposite the actor Danny Trejo, who has become just an incredible friend and just one of the most beautiful people that's giving back to the world in such an incredible way. And another film that we just finished called The Method, that is a really incredible story. And I also play the main girl in that, about young women getting taken advantage of, especially by, you know, older successful men in the industry. And so it's just a very like timely story. It's a psychological thriller, but it has a lot of like deep messages to it. And I just was so excited to get to play in that film because I feel like it's a story that so many just people need to hear right now, and the struggle that young women go through, especially when they have these, you know, big dreams and aspirations and all the things that can kind of really be very, cause a lot of inner conflict and struggle and, you know, showcasing that we can like stand up for ourselves and that we do have the strength within us to overcome obstacles. And I'm about to start a new series called The Legend of the White Dragon, which is an action series. And I play a character, one of the main characters, that's the leader of the rebels, which I'm really excited about.
Which is what you are.
Yeah.
By nature.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. By nature. Right. So that's very much like my thing. And especially with, you know, so much going on in the world, to be able to play a character and create in this kind of action hero, superhero world that really just showcases that we all have that, I don't want to say that rebel inside of us, but to kind of follow that sometimes and to question things and to stand up for yourself and to not just take everything, you know, for face value. And,
right.
You know, that they create this like positive rebellion, I think is really important, you know? So I just, you know, I feel, and to be a part of the Superhuman film with Caroline, I just, you know, like you said, I had remarkable experiences in this film that blew my mind. And even though I've been able to do some pretty incredible things in my life, it was just this reaffirmation, this reaffirming experience that like, wow, like we have so much more
to us,
personal power. Yeah. We have so much more to us. And I think, you know, I just would love everybody that gets to watch that film or hopefully, you know, any of the work that I put out is just really a message of,
well,
you know, really question everything, you know, because we just, some of the things we've been told are just maybe stories from people that didn't know what they didn't know, you know?
Right.
It's, well, really like breaking programmings and old stories that don't serve us anymore.
We're going to take a little break and mm-hmm. after the break, can you, why don't you tell us about what happened to you on the Superhuman film and the experiment that Caroline conducted, because it's an absolutely remarkable story. We'll be right back.
Whitley and Ann Streber's book, Miraculous Journey, is well on its way to becoming a classic. One reader after another has found hope and inspiration in the pages of this deeply moving book. From reader Martin Taylor, a book to savor, like much of the Streber's work, this is a very moving read, and I find myself smiling as much as holding back tears. From Melissa Latimer, this is a beautiful, hopeful story of the power of love in the face of life-changing health problems. From Raven Dana, this book is moving, instructive, and most of all, a beautiful testament to the power of love. And from Catherine Cook, the authors guide us through their dark night of the soul with beautiful prose and truly inspiring insights that leave the reader feeling hope and joy. Reader after reader has taken Miraculous Journey into their heart, and you will too. Available wherever electronic books are sold for just $4.99.
Now also available from Amazon and Barnes & Noble in hardcover and softcover. This is just a quick reminder that the UnknownCountry.com store is now open. You can enter it by going to UnknownCountry.com and clicking on the store tab. You'll find all of my available books and much more. I've been looking through our archive, and I found back in 2007 that I had read a short story called The White Moths. Later, of course, I couldn't have known it then, this story would figure prominently, and I mean very prominently, in my entire relationship with Annie after her death. Listen to this commercial that we created back in 2007 for my reading of The White Moths, and you can find it now in the UnknownCountry.com archive. You'll find it in Whitley's room.
In the years before his first remembered close encounter, Whitley Strieber wrote many books and stories that reflected his unconscious awareness of what was happening to him. Now, for UnknownCountry.com subscribers, he has begun a program of reading some of these very special stories. Here's an excerpt from the first story.
From The White Moths by Whitley Strieber. The white moth circled her head, and she knew that it was a terrible thing. She began to move out of the room, but the light was long and golden in the gnarled garden, late sun drawing memories from the ruins, and didn't she get already a whiff of some night-blooming flower?
Know how you can hear more? Get the Dreamland Archive back to 2004, hundreds of special interviews, a lively community, Whitley's meditations, and so much more. Subscribe to UnknownCountry.com today. Go to UnknownCountry.com and click on the Subscribe tab. Our subscription offering is well worth the small cost. Hours of information and entertainment. Join us now.
We're talking to Rachel Brooks Smith, her website, tmlife.com, where you can learn how she does what she does and where all that amazing energy is coming from, because it's coming from a really extraordinary place in a person who has got something that's valuable to all of us. Now, let's go back to the superhuman film and tell us a little bit about what happened, basically, because not all of my listeners will remember the story. So just yes. Fill us in, kind of.
Yes, well, so in Superhuman, you know, Caroline asked me to come and do these basically crash courses. And there's, you know, I got to do one in telekinesis and remote viewing. And before this experience, I really didn't know that much about, of course, you know, I've heard of telekinesis and I've heard of remote viewing, but I hadn't studied it. I hadn't, you know, been really consumed in that world. But I was fascinated by it because, you know, I'm fascinated by and so open to the capabilities that we all might have that we just don't know that we have because we haven't practiced them enough or we haven't been told that we can do it. And so when Caroline asked me, I was like, yes, yes, please. You know, I'd love to try these out. And I even did something and I told her, I was like, look, I don't want to study before the film. Like, I don't want to make any preconceived notions of what's possible or not possible. I just want to go into this experience completely open-minded and just be like a sponge, you know, that I don't have any, because I really think, you know, my favorite quote is be careful what you choose to believe, because what you choose to believe becomes who you are. And so I'm very aware of this concept of if I believe that I can't do something, then I just said it. Like I just claimed that I can't do that. But if I'm open-minded to the fact that maybe I could, then I'm going to be able to experience so much more. And so when I went into both remote viewing and telekinesis, I just learned so many powerful life lessons of, you know, remote viewing is basically the ability to intuitively know what's going on somewhere else completely where you are not.
Oh yeah. And I'm so very familiar with it. The originators of the Stanford University program, Hal Puthoff and, the others are all friends of mine. So I've been involved in that for a long time and I know what it is. But here's the thing that's so fascinating about you. You come to it essentially cold. You're not taken through a remote viewing class or anything. You just sort of had this laid out for you by Carolyn. And then what happened?
Yeah, so I mean, we had, you know, by Paul Smith, who was an expert in remote viewing, my teacher, I think I had like maybe like an hour with him of like some practice exercises and him telling me.
Right, a basic, you know, basically. Very basic, right.
Very, 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 very basic. And, you know, and I, you know, he basically said, this is about trusting your intuition. This is about trusting the first thing that comes up in you and to be able to write it down without letting your mind get in the way or second guess itself or try to make sense of things. And I just fell in love with this concept because, you know, my whole life it's been this, there's this feeling, this instinct, this like dream or aspiration that we all have. And then we get excited about it. And then somebody's like, oh, you can't do that. Or some part of your mind is like, wait, that's not possible. And it's always like, I've really practiced learning my whole life of trusting that intuition and trusting those really like powerful, we'll call it, if you want to call them downloads or inspirations or thoughts that you might have. And in remote viewing, it was that same thing. And so in the practice exercises, I could feel my mind getting in the way. Like I could feel second guessing. I could feel like this feeling of like trying to do a good job. And so at one point I even asked, and I know this wasn't in the film because obviously we can only share so much, but I had even asked like, if you have a meditation practice, will you be better at remote viewing? And the teacher had said that, you know, it definitely would be helpful because, you know, if you are more in tune with those deeper parts of you and you're able to slow your mind down, you might be able to really trust that intuition a lot more or hear that intuition more. And so I had just said, I was like, you know what, I just need a moment. Like, I just need to like drop into a meditation and really get out of my own way, which I think is so beautiful to relate to life of, you know, when we're trying to be perfect at something, if we're trying to do a good job, if we really get on our own way, we self-sabotage. And when we can step into this place of slowing our mind down and really listening and just following that intuition, that instinct, and just trusting it, even if it doesn't make sense, because I got very strong very strong, inspired thought to write very certain things down. Like, I very clearly saw these like black bars. I very clearly saw this red circular, thing, which ended up being, I very clearly saw red brick buildings that with decorative lights on them. And to me in the moment made no sense at all. Like, no sense. I thought, I was just like, you know what? I don't care if I do a good job. I might be messing up Caroline's film right now. And I had to completely let go of trying to do a good job and just literally trusting what was. And everything that I had wrote down, literally, I mean, at the end of it, I was like, I don't know what I just did. I could be completely wrong, but this is what happened. And I'm just going to trust what was or what is. And as we're pulling up to this, where the crew and Caroline was, it was exactly what I wrote down. And I literally, you can see in the film, like, my mind was blown. Like, that was, there was no acting. There was no acting involved.
No,
like,
there's no very clearly involved. Not.
Very, just so real. And so, because I, even on the experience of after I got done, you know, writing down all the things I wrote down and driving over, there was even these moments of like, gosh, I feel like I just failed. Like, I feel like I totally messed it up. Like, I don't think I did a good job.
Yeah, that's a very familiar feeling in remote viewing. You feel like I didn't do anything.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I just want to say to anyone listening, like, for all I knew, they could have been at a McDonald's. They could have been at the top of a mountain. They could have been, I had no idea what St. George, Utah even looked like. I had no idea what, like, the architecture was. You know, it wasn't holiday season. So to have decorative lights was like, you know, all the things that I was writing down was very, it made no sense. And so to pull up and to experience everything that I wrote down, it was just such an incredible feeling. And, you know, how beautiful it is that we can relate these lessons back to life. And I can say from all of my experiences of, you know, even manifesting or creating really incredible experiences, that it is the times when I have to like completely let go and stop pushing so hard or trying so hard and just trust that intuition to take the next step and then the next step and then the next step. And sometimes things don't make sense, you know, and sometimes, you know, you don't get the job that you thought you were supposed to get, or you don't get the relationship you thought you were supposed to have. But then if you just keep trusting and you keep moving forward, something even better happens, you know? So it's just, I think it's so, there's so many powerful life lessons here. And it's exactly, you know, what we talk about in the Transform My Life program at tmllife.com, you know, it's exactly that. So it was really cool. And then, you know, quickly on telekinesis, same sort of thing. There's powerful life principles that happen because at first I was trying so hard to make this piece of tinfoil move, you know, like I was trying to send it love and I was trying to make it move. And it was in the moment that I let go of that. And I said, you know what, like I'm going to stop trying and pushing and forcing this to happen. And I'm just going to try and get myself in a state of love. So rather than pushing and forcing and trying, I was just like, I want to be in the energy of love. I want to think of thoughts of, you know, falling in love with the love of my life, or like holding a newborn baby or a puppy, or moments where I just felt this powerful, like, feeling of unconditional love. And it was in that moment that all of a sudden the piece of tinfoil starts moving. And then as soon
that was the most amazing thing in the whole movie, in my opinion.
I mean, still to this day, I look back and, you know, even still parts of my mind are like, how did that, like, it's, again, I think,
how did it actually feel inside you?
I mean, incredible. Like, and you know, what's interesting is, so like there was a moment, and I don't think this is shown in the film. Obviously there's so much you have to cut out, but the moment that I was like, oh my gosh, look at what I'm doing. You know, and I got so excited, and out of that energy that I was in of this, like, you know, unconditional love and flow and ease. And I got into this like kind of more ego state where I'm like, oh, look at me. It stopped.
Right. And you got, yeah, that's, you're touching on such a critical thing, because you have to leave your ego behind in order to do this.
Yes, you do. You really do. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess the experience for me was just, I was in awe, you know, and I think that, just in awe. And I was, you know, and I think so much of people are like, how, you know, they're like, sometimes people don't understand. They're like, wait, are you an actress, or are you, you know, into, are you a you know, are you on this other side of like wellness and consciousness? And I'm like, well, it's both, because how do you think I'm able to be an actress and to play these characters at the, like the level that I'm able to tap into those kind of characters and stories is because I utilize everything that I'm learning in wellness and consciousness and manifestation and mindset to be able to do those things. And so I think, you know, if, you know, people talk about, oh, you know, if you want to be a doctor, you go to law school. If you want to be a lawyer, you go to law school. Like, you know, if you want to be an awesome human, where do you go? You know, if you want to learn all of these powerful principles that just help all aspects of that, you, so that you can live a very like passion filled, joy filled, you know, purposeful life experience. I think we have to take it upon ourselves to say, like, I'm going to proactively seek out places where they teach this kind of stuff. You know, like watching Superhuman, or hopefully, you know, if you want to go check out my program at tmllife.com, or watching this, listening to this show on a regular basis. You know, it's up to us to say, like, I'm choosing what I want to learn and master that will help create the kind of life experience I want to have.
That is the key there. And, you know, free Dreamlanders, we're going to take a little break. Speaking of keys, change your life. Listen up.
For all of Whitley's available books, visit the new unknowncountry.com store. Just click on the store tab on Unknown Country's masthead, and you'll find a treasury of Whitley Strieber books, including classics like the Communion series, War Day and Majestic, and the eerily prophetic early novel Night Church, plus A New World, Afterlife Revolution, and all the latest. Visit the store now and join the adventure.
As always, Dreamland's theme music is The O of Pleasure from Ray Lynch's beautiful album, Deep Breakfast, available at raylynch.com. We're talking to Rachel Brooks Smith, her website, tmlife.com. And tell us now a little bit about what you do there. What is that about?
Yes, absolutely. And just clarification, it's actually TML Life, and that stands for Transform My Life.
Oh, TMLLife.com. Okay.
Yep, TMLLife.com. Yeah, and this really is about teaching all the powerful practical principles that are enabling me to actually do the things that I've been able to do. You know, everything from literally playing the lead in the sequel to the film that changed my life as a little girl to creating, you know, falling in love and finding the love of my life, and having such a beautiful, supportive, loving relationship, to, you know, really like living and creating a lifestyle and a body and a life that you truly love. You know, and it's really about helping people transform fear into freedom, transform fear into action, you know, because me and my partner who created it just really realized that, you know, I had grown up in so much fear, so much anxiety, so much so that, I mean, I physically, that manifested into physical illness. Like I was pretty much sick most of my childhood because it was like being sick became a way out. It became a way for me to not have to deal with the stress of life. And because at the time I was a really competitive gymnast, and it was an unhealthy place for me to be in. And so, you know, going from this really scared, insecure, afraid little girl to being able to be, you know, a lead actress and in major feature films and TV shows and speak on massive stages, there's powerful practical principles that I've done and do throughout my life and on my day to day that literally helped me transform fear or self-doubt or insecurities and turn them into freedom and into action, so that fear no longer holds you back. It actually fuels you. And there's a way to do that. You know, we have 24 teaching videos. We have 24 hyper-specific action plans. We have a 30-day challenge, and we have an interactive workbook and a private Facebook community, so that people always have a place to go to, that it's not about just inspiring people. That's a huge component of it. It's about inspiration. But the difference between feeling inspired and then knowing what to do when fear sets in, right? Because you could feel really excited about like this new thing or this new relationship or this new job you're going to be doing. But then all of a sudden when self-doubt creeps in or fear comes in or some challenge like knocks you off your feet, what do you do? You know, how do you bridge that gap from where you are to where you want to be? And that is through practicing these principles that we teach in the program.
And it's a powerful program. And, you know, you, folks, as you listen to this, you're, what you're doing is you're listening to an empowered woman on what is actually a very extraordinary journey, spiritual journey. It's a spiritual mm-hmm. journey. And it has an entirely different flavor from the sort of contemplative, in-looking spiritual journey, say, that you might find in a religion like Buddhism or esoteric Christianity or in yoga. But it's also very much about movement. It has an incredibly – the website has an incredible physical vibe to it, and I'm just so interested in this – the way empowered femininity is at work here. And I know that this is a terribly important part of your life, both in the charitable work you do and in this work. But can you tell us what that means to you, that phrase, empowered femininity?
Oh, my goodness. That, you just, like, nailed it.
Well, that's my job. That's why I'm a podcaster.
Yes, you did. That was incredible. That phrase in general. I'm so excited for the world to catch up to that. You know, I think there's been so many different, you know, for example, people are like, oh, you run like a girl, or oh, you throw like a girl. And that was like a derogatory statement of like saying like, oh, you're not strong enough, you're not good enough. And I think that's what a lot of the women have felt for a long time. And what I've really, through so much, you know, years of study and practice and life experience and beautiful, incredible, wise teachers have, you know, shown me like that the power of the divine feminine, this, like, we create life, you know, like the power of the feminine is this power to literally create life.
Yes. And that's
not
what
a superpower, right? Like, I don't know what is. And so, you know, it's really this, that there is, we all have masculine and feminine in all of us, you know, and I think it's the ability to tap into. I think so many females now are, and I myself included, I've had to, like, not battle this, but kind of overcome me trying to push and force and be in my more of my masculine side into the space of learning the feminine, the divine feminine allowing of creation, you know, that when you let go and when you stop trying so hard and you stop trying to force or push, that there's this beautiful dance that happens of letting go and trusting, but then continuing to move forward, you know, and that letting go doesn't mean that you don't stand up for yourself. That letting go doesn't mean that you play small. That letting go means that you use your creative power to think differently, to question things, you know, to ask different questions that lead to more quality answers and more quality creation. And so, you know, for anybody watching, we all have that within us, you know, both guys and girls. I think it's understanding that there's a power to the masculine and there's a power to the feminine, and they both help each other out, and they're both beautiful in their own ways. They're both powerful in their own ways. And it's learning this dance between both. And especially for the women out there to understand that divine feminine power is powerful. And we have that within us, especially as females, and how to learn how to tap into it and use it more. To benefit not only our own life, but the world.
Yeah, there's also right now, there's such a battle. Everybody's fighting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Political fights. And like you're talking about feminine empowerment, and there are people out there saying, what about masculine empowerment? And it's human empowerment and finding balance between the two. And they are different. They're not the same. Mm-hmm. And I think you're talking about the differences very clearly and beautifully here. And you take advantage of them in your life. In other words, you use your femininity as a source of power. Can you tell us a little bit about your charitable work?
Yes. So, you know, I think my whole life, you know, I grew up and one of my biggest passions was, helping people, you know, in all different kinds of ways. And I actually grew up in a very medical family. You know, my father's a brain surgeon and my mom's a nutritionist, and my brother and my other brother and sisters are, you know, neuroscientists and doctors. And so for me, it was like this, I felt so different from my family because I'm like, I'm an actress, you know, and I'm a performer. And, but it was this sense of like, I always had this passion to just to help people in whatever way that I could. And whether that was, you know, speaking to big, you know, crowds and helping, especially kids, you know, in different like inner city schools and going to those schools and teaching them about these principles about empowerment and about who their own personal power, as well as, you know, I started even throughout high school, I was the person that was in charge of all of our food, like going to the homeless shelters and creating all those experiences for my high school and for my school. So it was always about like the creation of these experiences where we got to go out to different homeless shelters and food banks and just spend time with people that didn't have as much and give food to them and more so than anything, like time and love. And so I think from then it's really, you know, and something I feel really, really passionate about now, more recently, and something that I'm really going to, I actually want to start a really powerful fundraiser, you know, using where we just want to teach, you know, live, kind of empowerment / movement classes, in order to help fundraise for, a really beautiful organization called ORU Rescues Underground Railroad. And they are really just saving so many, children and people's lives that have been trapped or stolen for human trafficking. And so this is something that has recently come to my attention, and I'm ashamed that I didn't know what I didn't know. You know, I didn't know that 40 million children are missing from human trafficking and just the realities of what's going on in the world and how many kids, you know, online get kind of what they call groomed by predators, and they'll pretend to be their friend online and someone they can confide in. And then after they built trust with them, they bring them, you know, they're like, hey, come meet me at this place. And then that child feels like they can trust this person, like this person's their friend. And then all of a sudden they meet up with them and they take them, and they're gone from their families, and they, you know, use them for really horrible things. And I'm, you know, I've recently just felt so empowered to, you know, really do all that I can and use my gifts and talents to help spread awareness about this, because I just don't think enough people know that it's going on, and it's terrible. And it's something that we can really do something about and teach awareness and education both to kids and to parents of how to realize if there's a predator there, or if there's somebody that, you know, different things that you can do so that your child doesn't get taken, and or that how right. We can help these organizations that are literally going out and saving, you know, ORU Rescue saved over 4,000 kids already, which is an incredible amount of people, you know, and granted, there's still 40 million missing, but I just think we have to stand together and say, we're going to talk about this and we're going to educate people about this, because it's actually something that we can do through education and awareness to at least stop it from happening anymore.
And it's hard because this is it's actually growing in a lot of places in the world, because there are efficiencies in things like communication on the internet where kids can be captured by somebody using texting tools and so on and so forth. And then when they get into that seeming friendship with somebody who finally values them, they end up trapped. So it's a very serious problem. People want to follow you down this path and do what they can to help, what do you recommend they do?
I think, you know, I'm really talking right now about ORU Rescue, about being an ambassador for them. And like I said, really starting different fundraisers where I will teach, you know, live classes, just all donation based to that charity. And I've talked to the man, Tim Ballard, who started this foundation. I mean, he has nine children himself, seven of his own, and then two that he adopted from children that he had actually rescued. And he takes nothing from the charity. Like, he takes nothing. You know, he's had to find other ways of making money so that he, all of the donations that come from the charity go directly back into the charity to help save these kids. And, you know, they recently did an incredible event called Rise Up, and Tony Robbins was involved, Julian Huff was involved, so many, you know, incredible people, just to rise up and to create awareness that, hey, this is going on and this needs to be talked about, you know. And for every COVID case that they report, I wish that they would also report a child that was missing, because, you know, it's something that's just not being talked about enough, and more people need to know about it. And so, you know, I think going to both my Instagram and my Facebook, well, I'll be doing these live classes to raise money for them, as well as going to, I think it's orurescue.com. They have so much information and education for people on how to help, how to get involved, and how to really support the cause.
Well, folks, you know, you can definitely get more deeply involved at every level. And Free Dreamlanders, get deeply involved in this stuff, too.
Support unknowncountry.com and its great mission to make contact happen. Use our vast archive of interviews, meditations, commentaries, news, and Whitley Strieber audiobooks to expand your mind and your understanding of close encounter. Meet others who have similar interests on our active free message board or in our subscriber comments and Wednesday night chats. There is no other site like Unknown Country in or out of this world. Go to unknowncountry.com and subscribe today.
Unknowncountry.com subscribers have access to a vast treasury of information. Listen to what Dr. Robert Schock said. He's an expert on the past, and for that reason, he also knows a great deal about the future.
We are re-entering, as you say, a debris field, and when you have a debris field like this, it enters the solar system, it energizes the solar system as you have things going into the sun, even clouds of dust particles, for instance, it will energize the sun, it will destabilize the sun. This is what we saw at the end of the last ice age, in approximate terms, about 13,000 years ago.
And just in the past few days, more enormous meteors have been sighted. And this goes on continuously, more and more every year. We live in a time of great change in a world that doesn't like to look at things as they are. UnknownCountry.com offers extraordinary information, a vast archive that you cannot find anywhere else. Subscribe today. Help keep this website going, because without you, there is and can be no us. Go to unknowncountry.com right now. Click on the subscribe tab. Get started. We're talking to Rachel Brooke Smith. Her website, and I don't want to get it wrong again, is
TMLLife.com.
Two L's.
You can also go to, TMLLife.com. And you can also go to RachelBSmith.com.
Right.
But I would really encourage people to go to TMLLife.com, because that's really where, you know, the program is, and that you can really be a part of and learn these powerful principles that we're talking about.
Well, it's very exciting to me because, you know, my website, my life is all about empowerment and empowering people in ways that they didn't think were possible. And that's what you do. And, you know, I'd like to go back to the early journey, your early childhood. Mm-hmm. You made a quick reference at the beginning that it was a tough start.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, and thank you so much for asking. I think it's so important for people to hear and to know, because I think a lot of people listening are like, oh, well, you just were born into this, and this has always been easy for you, and that's just not true. You know, I grew up, and I started competitive gymnastics at a really young age, which I'm so grateful for, because it taught me so many powerful life lessons, but it also came at a big cost, because you know, when you, from the ages of like 6 to 14, when you're in a space where you're practicing 5 hours a day, 6 days a week, and that's just what your life becomes, and your coaches yell at you and throw things at you, and you for me, you know, I had never been taught the power of mindset or the power of thought and all of these principles that I know now that would have been really helpful back then. I created, you know, and I say that very carefully. Like there were things going on, right? Like my coaches did yell, we did get yelled at a lot. We did get pushed a lot. It was a very challenging environment. However, I created a lot of my own stress, my own anxiety, because I created so much fear around not being good enough or getting hurt or getting yelled at that I literally physically made myself sick most of the time just so that I didn't have to handle it. And I really hope people hear me when I say that is like, I realize now through so much, study and that we're so capable of creating both good and not so good experiences, right? Like if I create a lot of stress and anxiety and fear, if I'm living in that space most of the time in my internal world that I create, right? We are all creating our internal world all the time. Then I'm going to experience a lot of physical illness. I'm going to experience a lot of things that don't feel so good because that's what I've created in my internal world, depending on what I'm focused on. My focus was always about, man, what if I'm not good enough? What if I get yelled at? What if I get hurt? Like, what if it doesn't work out? What if, you know, like all of these things that create so much fear, even as I talk about those questions, right? Like my body starts to create these answers to those questions. And I say this all the time. Another one of my favorite quotes is, you know, that the quality of our life is very dependent on the quality of questions we ask ourselves. You know, that our brain is just this big supercomputer, and whatever question you ask, you're going to find an answer. And so if I'm asking like, oh, what if I get hurt? What if I get yelled at? Like, what if I'm not good enough? Why am I so stupid? Why am I so ugly? Like my brain's going to come up with an answer to those questions, and it's going to result in me feeling really small and insecure and afraid and not enough. But if I'm asking questions like, man, what if it does work out? What if I do get the job? What if I do get the relationship? What if I am actually capable of doing this incredible thing? All of a sudden, my body, I start to feel, and even if you're listening, you start to feel this feeling of like empowered and empowered state and this like possibility and opportunity and excitement and passion. And that was all just created in like 2 seconds by the questions that we were asking ourselves. And if I had only known this principle when I was young, it would have been so helpful. That's why I love teaching it to both, you know, to all ages, because it's such a powerful principle that what you focus on expands. And from the ages, for me, of 6 to 14, I was constantly focused on everything that could go wrong. And it resulted in, I was throwing up about once a week. Every Tuesday before bars, I would throw up because I was so terrified of my coach, his name was Mike Payne, which still cracks me up, you know, that his actual name was Mike Payne. and, you know, my mom, like, bless her, like, we have such a great relationship now. But in that moment, she was so consumed with my career as a gymnast that it was just, I think she was very blinded by and really couldn't see what I was actually going through and that I wasn't in a healthy space. And, you know, it really resulted in me, I was at a competition and it was actually one of the best competitions of my life. And I shattered my hand. I was doing a back handspring on the beam and like you could hear the crack from across the auditorium.
Oh.
And just to give you an experience of like what it was like for me at like, you know, I was 13 years old, that happened, right? And my coach was like, Rachel, get back up on the beam. Your team needs you. Finish your routine. And, you know, and I'm sitting there just in so much pain. My hand is shattered. And I just, you know, and all I can do is like, you know, I'm like, okay, I'll try, you know, and then I try to just do like a cartwheel on the floor and I just fall on my head because I literally had no, my bones in my hand were gone, like shattered. And luckily, you know, another person saw that and they pulled me from the competition. But it really wasn't until I finally got up the courage to tell both myself and my mom that like, I just, like, I couldn't do this anymore. And I was so unhealthy and so unhappy. You know, I'd missed half the school year because I couldn't handle the stress of school and gymnastics. And it was just a really unhealthy space to be in. And, you know, my own mom at the time, she didn't handle that news very well because she was so in love with, you know, my career as a gymnast and our friends and the family we had created there. And so in the time, you know, she basically was just like, I just don't like you right now. I can't be around you for a while. And that was just really difficult for me to hear, because at the time she was like my world and my best friend. And, you know, and we've talked about this and healed this relationship, and now, you know, she still is my best friend. But at 14 years old, it's really difficult to go through.
It sort of parallels, and I'm beginning to understand your concern about exploited children, because mm-hmm. She was an unwitting exploiter. In other words, she had slipped into it probably without really realizing that. And but this is something very close to your experience of life. Absolutely.
Yeah, and actually, thank you for helping me realize that, because I don't even know that I put those two together till this moment. You know, I have a deep love and care for. I think, you know, for children, and that, you know, I think so many times, you know, they're, especially in the world that they're growing up in now, when there's so much confusion and there's so much misinformation out there, it's really, I mean, I can't even imagine what it would be like, you know? And so I want to, you know, do all I can. And people have asked me before, you know, is Transform My Life program, is it for kids as well? And absolutely, you know, I think it would be one of the coolest things ever to do that with your parent, you know, that like a child and parent being able to do that together and talk about these principles together, and learn together, you know. And it's such a this concept of just like never being done with learning, you know, that we don't, if we say like, oh, I got done with school, I'm done learning now, then like we just literally said like I stopped progressing in life, I stopped growing in life. And if you're not growing, you're kind of dying. And at least for your spirit and your soul and your mind, like if I think I would just encourage people to really to rewrite the story, rewrite the narrative that learning doesn't end with school, that learning is a constant life practice. And the more that we learn, the more that we grow, the more we evolve, the more that we're open to being completely wrong, then like the broader our life experience will be, and the more opportunities and possibilities and even creations we'll be able to create. To better the world.
Yeah, you know, if you're afraid to be wrong, you'll never be right. One of the things
I love that so much.
Well, listen,
I love that so much.
I want to circle back a little bit now to the experience with Caroline, and have you followed up at all? Because I know that when I've had a couple of experiences of telekinesis in my life. And I've never followed them up. Did you think of possibly expanding on that or not? I'm just curious. I don't think you did, but I'm wondering if you might consider doing that.
You know, it's interesting, you know, because I did have these powerful, powerful experiences on the film, and some people have asked me, you know, have you like continued practicing? And I think, these are principles I'm practicing all the time, maybe not necessarily sitting in front of a piece of tinfoil trying to get it to move. You know, in Caroline,
yeah,
and I have talked about this a lot, you know, like, but I think it's the constant practice and you know, I love watching clips of those experiences. It's just a powerful reminder, you know, that we're all so much more capable than we think we are. And even now, you know, for new dreams and aspirations I have, you know, I'm really working hard to get these different action hero series off the ground that really teach these principles, but in a really entertaining action hero show type of way. And you know, and sometimes I hit, you know, you hit roadblocks and you things don't make sense and you feel frustrated and you feel discouraged. And then to go back and remember those moments when like, no, but wait, incredible things have happened before. And if they've happened before, they can happen again. And, you know, a practice that we even talk about in the Transform My Life program is stacking, you know, that there's a lot of times in life when, you know, we're going to get frustrated, we're going to get discouraged, and we're going to start like doubting our abilities. But then this concept of stacking, when I can go back into past experiences and say, but wait, let's go back to the times when it did work out, you know, when I did figure something out, when something happened that was even better than I could have imagined. And then you just stack all of those experiences, and all of a sudden, after stacking a few of them, you go from feeling discouraged to feeling empowered. And so, you know, in using these principles that I've learned in this experience, I use them every day. I definitely do want to. I think it would be really cool, just for fun and for practice of trusting my intuition and trusting my abilities more, to, you know, continue to practice remote viewing and also telekinesis. Because I think it's just it's a practice that helps all of life experience just become more miraculous and beautiful.
You know, one of the things that concerned me, I thought a lot about telekinesis too, because as I say, the incidents of it I've had in my life have been kind of spontaneous. I've never practiced it or really thought about it. Uh-huh. I have some psychic friends who are very telekinetic, but what worried me about it was, I thought if I tried it as a practice, it might kind of be like those experiments, those scientific experiments about where they just endlessly show you these cards in trying to see if telepathy is real. And after a while, the mind tunes it out. And so then they say, well, it's not real but what they don't know is it is real. It just works differently. And you know, that, that came down to this. I thought to myself, the really basic empowerment of that it makes a psychic is a sense of adventure and fun. And that's what, that's what your whole life is about.
Yeah.
And that's really why I think you could do it. So without, an hour, within basically an hour's training,
you could
probably do a lot more.
And I love that you brought that up, like adventure and fun. And I think fun and adventure too are both, they're superpowers that are so underrated, you know, that this experience of when we've been taught the story that like you have to work harder and do more to achieve. And it's so much that it comes at a cost of burnout and stress and unenjoyment of life. And I just think we got it so backwards that actually the more you do things that light you up, the more you do things that create fun and joyful experiences, the more creative you're going to be able to be, the more productive you're going to be able to be, and just overall better you're going to be. And so I think, a mentor of mine who I love, his name is Jim Quick, he says something, that maybe you're not, people are experienced in life and they're like, gosh, I feel so lethargic or I feel so burnt out. It's like, maybe you're not actually lethargic or burnt out. You're just burnt out of doing the things that don't light you up, and if we could shift our focus to be like, what really lights me up? What makes me feel alive? And do more of those things, then we won't experience this experience of burnout or like lethargicness or, unmotivation. It's like, no, it's like we just need to do more of what makes us feel alive, and then we're going to feel alive.
Exactly. And that's the thing, feeling alive. That was what my wife was all about. She was a great believer in joy and finding joy in life. She thought that was the key to essentially to everything. And you have gone on a real trajectory. I want to ask you this. In the creative world, which we are both in, as we both know very well, there are a lot of no's. No's come all the time.
Yeah.
And how do you cope with those?
Gosh, I think that's such a great question. So, I love reading and learning and studying people that have done the similar things or created a life experience that I want to create. And, and I think this is something, a lesson that I was taught by a mentor that literally changed my life. He's just like, be very careful of the opinions you choose to believe and realize that they're all just opinions. And that, because I felt at one point so confused by all of the different people telling me different things that I should or shouldn't do. And he was like, ask the question, like, does this person, have they created the life experience that you want to have? And if they haven't, then maybe don't take their advice so much, that really listen to the people that have done the things that you want to do and created the kind of life experience you want to create. And so I want to learn from people and listen to people's opinions, right? Because they're all just opinions of people that have created wealth and health and films and TV shows and beautiful relationships. And so one of those people that I look to study from, I was like, how did she do what she did? And that's Meryl Streep. And one of my favorite stories of her is that when she auditioned for King Kong, she got told that she was too ugly for the role. And what she said back was so beautiful. And she was like, well, thank you for your opinion. I'm just going to go find a kinder opinion in the sea of thousands that are out there. And, you know, imagine if she would have believed the opinion of the person that told her that she was too ugly to be an actress. If she would have believed it, she would have been like, oh, I guess I'm not supposed to be an actress. I'm just going to go do something else because I'm not good enough to do that. And we would have never known who Meryl Streep was. We would have never been blessed with all of the incredible stories that she's helped tell. And so I think when I get a no, or all of the no's, because I get a lot of them, like you said, like so many no's, it's crazy. It's just this experience of like, okay, that's just one person's opinion. I'm just going to go find someone else that has a different opinion. And it's just like looking for the opinion that matches. And I think it's just like also the knowing that like what you're looking for is also looking for you. And it's just about finding it, you know? So same thing with love and romantic relationships or wealth or health or the creation of a TV show or a film, you know, cause I'm, you know, putting together now as a producer, I'm, you know, behind, you know, the creation of a lot of these projects. And it's really frustrating when you're trying to finance films and there's a lot of discouragement that comes in along with that. But it's just like every no is getting me one closer to that yes, you know, and like the more no's I get, I just know that I'm getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to right. actually getting the yes. And if people like, you know, just I think it's just stacking, again, this principle of stacking all the stories of people that have done incredible things and learning how many no's they got. Like even, who was it? I mean, there's just so many stories of people who've gotten like thousands of no's until they got that one yes. And that one yes led to the creation of something that pretty much changed the whole world. So I think it's just the ability to not see a no as a no, this isn't happening. It's just a one step closer to the yes.
And I think that we have come to the end of our time together, and I am going to end this on the word yes, which is the word that helps us to move forward in our lives, both deepening our lives and expanding them. TMLLife.com, TMLLife.com. And you can also learn more about Rachel at RachelBSmith.com. She is doing it. She is using her feminine energy for self-empowerment and spilling that over into the arms and the lives of anyone who wants it. I think I just admire your work tremendously, and I'm so glad that you met up with Carolyn and did what you did, because I never would have known about you before. Thank you so much for being with us on Dreamland, Rachel.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for the work that you do. It's just so incredible, and I'm so happy to have found about you and being able to share your work with my community as well.
Great. Well, thank you very much for listening, Free Dreamlanders. We are going to go on now, subscribers. So get set for listening to something that you have not heard before. I'm sure of that. It's going to be, I hope, a mind-opening experience. It certainly has been for me.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and its family of subscribers. Our theme music is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. Unknown Country was founded by Ann Streber. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our coordinator is Amy Safrankova. Whitley Streber is your Dreamland host. And I'm your announcer, Ted Alexander.